You've seen the insane online course success stories, the six-figure launches, the passive income potential, but how does it actually happen? Are these really real people having these massive successes? Well, the answer is yes. And on today's show, we have my friend Abby Ashley sharing her story. Abby went from starting a VA business at 8 months pregnant to launching her first course and then building it to a $500,000 launch within the span of a few years. You're going to learn why her first launch was a flop and what she would never do again, how often she launches her course, her juiciest tips for building an email list, and so much more. Before we dive in, I just want to read a review that came in from Omada. Omada said, "It's like hanging with my bestie. This is one of my favorite podcasts. Gemma is so relatable in the way that she mixes in daily life and biz tips. You'll consider this time well spent in your day." Thank you so much, Omada, for that amazing review. If you have 2 seconds and are able to, pop on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or review on the podcast's main page. It does a lot to help us continue to grow the podcast and continue to produce this amazing free content for you. So I would send you some serious virtual hugs and kisses if you are able to do that for us. Now, let's get ready to tune in to today's episode and just get ready to be crazy inspired by this mama of two, Abby Ashley from Missouri. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. All right, guys, we have one incredible guest today on the podcast. I am so excited. Abby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm super excited to chat with you.
Yay. Okay, so Abby, for those who aren't familiar with you and your biz, do you want to just give a brief little summary of like who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name's Abby, Abby Ashley. I get called Ashley all the time, so it's okay if it happens. Literally, like the pastor at our wedding said, do you, Rob, take you, Ashley?
And I was
No. So it begins. So I'm Abby Ashley, and my business is The Virtual Savvy. So I teach people how to become virtual assistants.
Amazing. So can you, I know you have like an incredible sort of journey that's kind of led you to where you are today. So can you tell us about your early days of getting started yourself as an entrepreneur?
For sure. So I have always been an entrepreneur. I mean, I remember being in like middle school and high school and just like bouncing ideas off of my dad, also an entrepreneur, like just, I think it's like in my blood. So always an idea person. Had 1,000 ideas, right? Started a ton of them, never really like stuck to anything, like typical entrepreneur journey. So if you're still there, don't worry. Like you can refine and pick one thing, I promise it can happen. But yeah, so I, you know, I had a lot of different business ideas. None of them really stuck. But whenever I became pregnant in 2015, there was just this like extra motivation. I was like, you know what? I've just got to do something. Like I can't continue going to a job that I hate. Like I think something about momhood just makes you really like reflect. I hear so many people who start businesses when they're pregnant. I think you're just like, I can build a human in my body. I can do anything.
Totally.
So like I was definitely one of those. So I started my business when I was 8 months pregnant. Again, I was kind of just looking for a way to make money from home, and a friend suggested virtual assistants. I hadn't even heard of it, so I devoured everything on the internet that night, and the next day started calling myself a virtual assistant. And I had a background in marketing, and I knew that that was going to be the most important thing. So I really just did a flash focus on like, let's just get the word out there. I'm just going to tell everyone I know. I'm going to go to networking events. I'm just going to get the word out. And I think that is what definitely attributed to me finding quick success in it is, you know, just getting myself out there. So I was able to basically replace my full-time income working you know, 15, 20 hours a week. But I was also pregnant and I was like a ticking time bomb. So I'm like, I'm going to need some help. So I was basically forced to like scale my business really, really quickly in the sense that I'm like, I'm going to need help. So by the time I was 3 months postpartum, I had 4 subcontractors working for me and I had basically this mini VA agency going on. And it was just a huge shift for me and my family. It was awesome because I was balancing, you know, being a mom and also being a business owner, which I think was amazing for me because I needed something for me in the midst of momhood. So,
I can relate to that so yeah. hard. Yeah. Like every nap time for me was working on my online business and it was such an outlet.
Yes. 100%. So yeah. Yeah, that's me. And then, so as far as the course creation side goes, cause I know you said that like, I know that a lot of you guys out there are course creators or aspiring course creators. So, that was in 2015 that I started the VA business and I ended up landing a client who was a course creator, would do these course launches and make $500,000 in a week. Like it was so amazing. I'm behind the scenes. I didn't even know this whole world existed. And I'm mm-hmm. like, what? This is so cool. And he was,
I know, so, like the light bulb goes off when you start yeah. to like, when your world gets open to these people who are just crushing it online. It's like, yeah. this exists. Like this is real people doing this.
Right. And it wasn't just the money. Like it was like the life change. Like he was yeah. so systematic and had an amazing team and was, you know, and was really doing good things. Like his course was a really good course. I was actually a student in his course, which is how I got connected to him. And then, you know, that was how, yeah. So I basically just, it was almost like the best paid internship. So any right. of you guys offering services, like, it's just such a great way to build relationships in the online space and learn so much about, especially online marketing, is working for people who do the things, right? So that was my experience. And so I his course was actually called Get 10,000 Subscribers and it was all about list building. So I was like, well, I've got to build a list. Like that's how this happens. And so while I was doing services, I started building a list and I got to the point where I had 1,000 email subscribers. And that kind of his methodology behind course creation was once you have 1,000 email subscribers, ask your list what they want. So mm-hmm. I asked my list what they wanted and they wanted to learn how to become a virtual assistant. I will say before this, when I had like 500 or 600 subscribers, I definitely went down the path of like, I know what they want. And I started like yep. making all these courses and like, I think I made 3 different courses and put all this work into them, pre-made the courses, didn't pre-sell them or anything, and launched them to my list of 500 or 600 people, and one person bought at $97. It was like 3 months of hard work.
I love the fact that you're sharing that because that is so often what people do, right? I think any of us like who now have, who've been in like the course creation game for a while now can all say that that's what we did in the beginning, was like spend oodles of time creating products that didn't get off the ground. Yep. And it's what I talk about with my students all the time, is about pre-selling and making an offer before you've actually created the content. And there's like there's so much fear around doing that, right? And yep. I think like one thing about just your story that you just shared, when you were getting started as a VA, when you're taking the next leap to think about creating digital offers, is like you didn't, I mean, maybe internally you had hesitation, but you just went for it. You like put your feet in front of the other every single day with consistency and like drive and weren't afraid, right? Because I think the fear is often what holds a lot of people back. And they're afraid to tell people that they're taking on this new venture, that they are a VA or they are an expert in X, Y, or Z. And you need to get visible and you need to put the word out. So that's like, I just wanted to like pick that out of your story that you just shared that is just such a valuable lesson for people who are listening.
Yeah, my old pastor used to always say, go set ready. And I'm like, that's like part of our company culture now, is that like, we launch before it's perfect. Like you're never gonna have this perfect polished finished thing that you feel like by the time you feel good about it, it's going to be like outdated, right? Yes. Like, I mean, it's this, especially in the online space, like things are just moving so quickly that you've just kind of got to jump on the train and learn as you go and know that you're gonna make mistakes and know that it's not gonna be perfect and that, you know, like the people who find success the most quickly that I found are just those quick decision makers. Like, all right, let's do this thing. It might be the wrong choice, but let's try it out. You know?
I totally agree. Like, done is better than perfect, and you just need to put it out into the world and like tweak and refine and improve from there, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, can you like give us a snapshot, because it's been, so that when did you launch, at the point of wait, you know, you had your 1,000 people on your list, you realized that they wanted to learn how to be VAs like you had done. And you launched your first course. When was that? What year was that?
That was August 2016. So I started my business about, let's see, like May 2015 is when I started my virtual assistant business. So it was August. So about a year later was when I had 1,000 email subscribers.
And so from August 2016 to today, which is January of 2020, can you give us a snapshot today of what your business looks like? Like if we were to take like a big picture view, what, how the pieces kind of work together?
Yeah. So, it's been awesome. I love this world. Like so at that time that I launched the course, I got 16 people in at $497. That was kind of my intro, because I knew the course was eventually going to be $997. So it was kind of like the pre-launch price, right? Mm-hmm. So I made $8,000 that first launch, and I was over the moon excited. Like, that was huge for me. Absolutely huge. And then, you know, I just kept kind of wash, rinse, repeat. So I launched again actually in December, which was like a terrible idea. Literally, I'm like launching right before Christmas. I was like, oh, I guess no one taught me I shouldn't do this. I've now moved my launches to January. But then, you know, every launch is just kind of increase, increase, increase. And I put a big focus on list building in between launches. And so we went from having, you know, an $8,000 launch to, I think it was like a $20,000, then a $40,000, then a, then we jumped up to like a 150 and then a 225. And, our last launch was a $450,000 launch.
I love that. And here, you guys, here's, the other amazing thing about Abby is that you do not rely heavily on paid ads.
No. So I don't paid ads is not one of my strategy. Like if you go to my Facebook page, you may or may not see a paid ad, because we're always kind of
testing.
We experiment a little, but I spent less than 1% on marketing last year.
I am like obsessed about that. So can you, two things I want to know. I'll ask the first question because it's like a quick answer, but especially in the first like year or two, with your course and you were relaunching, how often were you launching? Like how many months was between launches typically?
Yeah, I've pretty much always done two a year. So I do
two launches a year,
January and then one in July. And I think it's really important to note that my launches are literally like exactly the same. And I don't even hide the fact, like, I don't even like, it's literally like, the exact same emails. I do like a 5-day series with really similar content. Like maybe I'll change the title of something, or I'll tweak it, or I'll update testimonial. Like I'm making things better every time. I'm improving it, but it's literally like, don't reinvent the wheel. People don't remember what you did 6 months ago. And if they do, then they should have bought then. And if it's not, it wasn't time then they need to rehear the same information.
Exactly. So I'm all about that too. My, like the students in my community will know that I'm all about rinsing and repeating, and you really build brand recognition when you do that. And I think what happens sometimes is people will go and launch something, not see the success that they want in that first launch, think it's a failure and not try, like they'll go back to the drawing board and create another product, when actually those first 5 students they got, that was just the beginning. They needed to like keep going, do it again and again and again to build that brand recognition, as you have done so well. So in between your launches, when you say you focused really heavily on list building, mm-hmm. I mean, without sort of, you don't need to tell us every single little strategy that you've ever used, but do you have like a top, you know, a top couple of strategies that have worked really well for you that have like stood the test of time?
For sure. So honestly, I think above like, ooh, what strategies worked for Abby Ashley, I think that the best thing to do is to like pick a platform.
Uh-huh.
Pick one. Because honestly, any of them will work if you just pick one, focus on it, and go all in. Mm-hmm. So like, so I don't want you to be like, oh, well, this is what she did, so that's what I should do. Because that's not necessarily true. Like, maybe that's not where your audience hangs out, or maybe that's not what you enjoy doing. So for me, I right away, I started a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And so that Facebook group has grown to about 40,000 members. And we use that as a really, that's a list building tool for us, because every person that comes in, we ask them if they want our freebie.
Yeah.
They don't have to do it, but if they want it, we say, drop your email below, and we're able to like collect those emails. And it's, I mean, we can literally get hundreds of people a week now, list building on autopilot just through that Facebook group.
Right.
And there's all these strategies behind Facebook groups. I spend less than 10 minutes a day in there. Like, it's a very, it's a self-run group, which is amazing. So that's one that I kind of went all in on. And then the other, which I mostly hired out to do, was Pinterest. Mm-hmm. So that was the other, and that's kind of the SEO one, right? So in my opinion, if you're going to do two, do a traffic source that is kind of community and connection and kind of volume. So that would be, you know, Facebook group or Instagram is really great for that, right? Like, you're building a following, and stories are great for the connection part, but it's not really a search engine, right?
Yeah.
As far as search engine and like really, really building great quality traffic, like targeted traffic over the long run, I would choose Pinterest or YouTube, honestly, and mm-hmm. also combine that with, I guess, you know, like blogging, Pinterest, YouTube, or a combination.
Yeah, because Pinterest and blogging could go hand in hand together. Exactly. With YouTube, you don't necessarily need the blog. It's kind of doing both in one, and you're just directing people straight to your email list from the YouTube video. But yeah, I talk about that too. And that's your evergreen content. Like, that's your, it stands the test of time. It snowballs, it builds on itself. It keeps growing for you. Whereas the Facebook group, the Facebook page, the Instagram, whatever, is very fleeting. And that's just like, as you said, your connection point to build that deeper relationship with the people who are already following you.
Yep. And honestly, you just got to keep doing it, because
you just got to keep doing it.
Exactly. SEO is not a, especially like Pinterest, blogging, YouTube, right? I mean, they're long game things. Like,
uh-huh.
I get a ton of traffic from SEO now, a ton, but that's because I've been blogging since, you know, 2015 using really good keywords.
Yes.
Like, it just takes a long time, unless if you have something that like goes crazy viral and all of that. But and there's strategies to find things that are going to be more popular, but at the end of the day, what's going to create the most quality followers and like that deep, just like constant funnel of healthy organic leads is just consistency.
I couldn't agree more. So at this point with your business, you still sell that same course, which I love, right? Because again, that speaks to building that brand recognition over time. But you have, so that's your, would you call that your signature course?
Yes.
And then you do have a few other offers, right? What does that look like?
One other thing. So I also have a membership site. So it's a tech membership. So because my course is teaching people how to become virtual assistants, the course itself is really that business in a box, like how to plan your pricing and your packaging and get clients and legalities. And we have a contract and all the, you know, hiring subcontractors. It's like the meat, right?
Yes.
And then so some people can come in and just use the skills they already have, or we teach kind of general admin in that course, but a lot of people want to take their service offerings beyond that. So what we have is something called Savvy Vault, and it's a tech membership. So every month we release a new tech course. So we have over 40 tech courses in there currently, everything from Canva, ConvertKit, Teachable, Facebook ads, Pinterest management, and we're adding more specialty courses. So like industry specialty. So if you want to be a real estate VA, that course is coming up. We have a subscription box management course that Julie Ball created, who's a like awesome subscription box manager. So she has a really popular subscription box. So we have industry and tech training. So we release at least one new tech course course every single month inside of that membership.
And you guys who are listening, this is a great example of an ascension model, because what Abby's done here is she's had, like, she has her main, like, front facing online course, and the alumni from that online course feed directly into the membership. It's almost like a no-brainer. And that's what you can be doing too when you think about, like, having multiple offers, is what's the pathway that you're taking your students on so that they can keep working with you and do that in a really smart way. So I love that. Okay, you have young kids just like me. I think we have babies in the same years. What years were your babies born?
2015. 2013 and then 2015.
Okay. Like, so I'm 2013 and 2016.
Okay.
Awesome. So we can relate as mamas to young little children. So you now have these incredibly successful digital offers. You have a team that works with you to help manage all the moving pieces and your business. What does, like, day-to-day life look like? Like, are you, 'cause people are going to think, like, you are running around like a chicken with its head cut off with that many students and that much going on. But what does it really look like behind the scenes? Have you been able to, like, build out a business that feels good for you?
Yes. Okay. So I think a big part of this is my business, my life has taken different seasons. You know, mm-hmm. like when I started, I was a full-time stay-at-home mom. Okay. And so, I mean, I guess I was nannying some too, but, like, I was momming, like, all the time. I was watching my kids or my kids plus other people's kids.
Yeah.
Didn't love it. I was like, yeah. And I was working on my business, and I did this business so I could spend time with my kids. Right. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that I needed to spend 40 hours a week with my kids. It was that I wanted to be able to be there. Like, last Friday I went and had lunch with my daughter at school and things like that. So that was more so the priority for me. And so things shifted as kind of the business shifted and as my, like, what I needed shifted. So, I was at home with them full time, and then it switched to, you know, I had somebody come to the house 2 days a week, and I felt all fancy because I was like, oh my gosh, look at me with a nanny. And then you know, and then we moved, and the kids, like, the only good option that we really felt comfortable with was this 5-day daycare, and we're like, man, that is not at all what we wanted, but maybe we'll do the 5-day daycare and then we don't have to take them every day. And then once they got in there, it ended up that, like, we pretty much took them every day.
Well, also they love it too, right?
And, like, they loved it, and the consistency was good. And then I, like, you know, if I wanted to, I'm like, I'm done working. It's 1 o'clock. I'll go pick them up.
Exactly.
And then, you know, as that transition, now my daughter's in kindergarten, so she's at school all day, and my son is in daycare, and that is just what works really well for the season of life that we're in. So, I'm all about, like, finding what works for you. So we have a pretty standard work day then, since we have, like, you know, my kids are in, daycare now, but it didn't start out that way. So my life now, I mean, I retired my husband this last year, which was really exciting. And just started working for the company in January. He was, like, trying a couple different things, and he's like, I think I just want to work for you. I'm like, that sounds great. Let's do this thing. So literally, like, his desk is, like, right next to mine now. And so he takes the kids to school, and then I work from, like, 8 to usually 3 or 2. And by that time I'm like, man, I'm done. Like, yeah. I know I'm not very productive in the afternoons. So I try to do all my work. And then, like, my husband goes to pick up the kids at, like, 2:30. He, like, that's, like, his time. That's, like, daddy kid time, is to, like, his time in the car picking them up. So that is usually where I will, like, if I haven't showered yet, I will shower. That happens real life. Or I will, like, sometimes I'll work out, or I'll just, like, go take a walk outside or do house stuff. Like, that's just kind of my time. And then the kids.
Yeah, and then the rest of it is family time.
And the rest of the night is family time.
That's I love that. And so, other than you and your husband, how many other people do you have working with your company? And I appreciate that some of them may be, like, really small subcontractors, so you don't need to include those, but, like, kind of core team members.
Yeah. So It's going to sound like a lot, but so I have six, not including myself, I have six full-time employees.
Wow.
So, but I will say this too, like, so we've chosen the organic of organic traffic, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't spend a lot in paid ads. So what I don't spend in paid ads, I make up for in team, I feel like.
Right.
But I love
That's it. A really interesting comparison, because not a lot of people have like worded it that way before. And that's a really interesting, because at your stage, you can't be writing blog posts. You can't be pinning on Pinterest. You can't be doing all the things all the time.
I'd be driving myself crazy.
You'd be driving yourself crazy. You'd be working all hours of the night, right? So you have to have a larger team to take those on so that you continue to drive all of that traffic your way. It's an interesting comparison.
And I love that too. Like mm-hmm. I would rather, like, I mean, we focus on profit margins and we're good, but like, I could have a smaller team. Like I totally could have a smaller team, but like, I love my team. Like that is what wakes me up in the morning, is to get to like send funny GIFs to my team on Slack totally. And to like team unity. We did our first in-person team retreat, and it's like, I love managing a team. Like that gets me fired up. It's one of my favorite things about this business is managing a team, and they're family, right? Yeah. Like, we didn't plan it this way, but every single person on my team, minus my husband, is a mom.
Yeah.
It's my mission, right? Is to like help women and primarily moms find like a way to work and also be at the school bus when their kids get dropped off.
That's right.
You know, like my, one of my employees, her son is sick with the flu. So we had a meeting yesterday, and like, we gave her pretty much the day off, but she's like, no, I need this meeting. But she's sitting there like holding her baby with the flu, like as we're talking, but I'm like, but we were still having a great conversation. And
yeah.
Like I didn't force her to do that. My team's just so stinking.
Yeah. But what other job, what other job would she have been able to do that? Right.
Right. And so it was just like, I don't know. I love that. I love that I can provide a full-time salary to, you know, five moms.
Yeah, so. That's incredible. So this has been such a good chit-chat, Abby. I think everybody's going to get so much out of this episode. What, just to like cap it off, what would you say are, I don't know, the top two or three reasons that have contributed to your success as a course creator?
Mm, yeah. So I would say, number one, man, and this is the hardest one, is just like really just do one thing and just mm-hmm. do it really, really, really well. Like one ideal customer, whatever you want to call it, avatar, whatever, like one group of people that you're talking to, one solid offer, one solid traffic source. Like if you can just take all that energy that you're putting in 20 different places and just focus it on one thing, like, man, it's the hardest thing to do, but it's gonna lead to the most success. Mm-hmm. That was one really long one. Okay, so
no, I love that one. I need that reminder sometimes.
I know, it's so hard. It's so hard because we're all entrepreneurs, so our minds are. I literally last night I almost purchased two new domains. Things that have nothing to do with my business. I literally have two new businesses in my head that I want to start now. And you know what happens? I put them on my cool ideas for businesses list. Yes. And then I look at them and be like, man, it'd be cool if I could do those. Nope, not now. Yep. You know, like totally. There's still more in what I have now. So I can't do those things. Like I have to focus on what's in front of me. Especially now, because it's like, that's providing for me and my family and five other people. So exactly. Like, Abby, you can't get distracted with those other things. Okay. So that's one. Another one I would say is something that probably I haven't done the best is making sure that you are doing, like kind of self-checks, like as you start a business too. One of the things that I've kind of started doing, particularly this year, is I'll have a piece of paper and I'll label it relationships, spirituality, financial, and physical. And then I just do like a check, like how am I doing in each of these areas?
Right.
And sometimes it's not good. And that's one thing that like I didn't prioritize mainly like physical and mental health a lot while I was doing the grind. And now I'm having to go back and be like, okay, now I've got to like recoup some of that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it, you know, it's like, maybe my business wouldn't be as far, but maybe I'd have a few more friends locally, or I would, you know, like not whatever.
That's a really common reality for like really high achieving entrepreneurs, is that you really do put the blinders on to everything else that's going on in your life. When your like nose is to the grindstone like that, and you're really building something in a major way. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So more self-checks, and I'm doing it now, and it's been huge. And then the last one, let's see. Again, it's really practical. Oh, my stuff's always like so practical. Honestly, focus on list building. Mm-hmm. I think that an email list is just, it's just so important. Like, I can look at my business growth and the rate my business grows. Like, the year that my launch doubled was the year that my list doubled. You know what I mean? Like, it just, like, now, like, I've never been good at like numbers and metrics and stuff, and we're just now starting to dig in. And now that I go back and I look at things, I'm like, oh, like, list building really did matter. Like, people told me it mattered, and I did it just because people said it mattered. But now looking back, I'm like, oh, it really did. Right.
Yeah. So listeners to this podcast will know that I always say it's like the golden ticket to your online business is so like having not only a big list, but a big list of like the right people who are engaged and they're your VIP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I love that. So Abby, where can people find you? Where can they learn more about what you do and what you offer?
Yes, for sure. So we didn't really talk much about services, but honestly, services are like, offering services online, especially everything that you're doing to build your online course, you can do for other people,
100%.
Build relationships and make like, I always tell people that online courses are the long game. I think you make more money with an online course. I think that the business generally can be bigger, but services are the quick game, 100%. Right? Like most people can replace their income with 4 to 6 clients. So instead of getting hundreds of people to say yes, you have to get 4 to 6 people to say yes in order to replace your income. So I'm a huge fan of doing services, especially if you're a course creator looking to like, oh my gosh, this is spending so much money and I'm not making anything yet. So if you're interested in offering services as you build your course build business, you can go to thevirtualsavvy.com/checklist. And that is my step-by-step checklist for starting a virtual assistant business, but really any of the things that you can do. If you do websites or you freelance in any other way, writing, proofreading, whatever you can do that you could offer to small business owners, go download the checklist, because that it's really the step-by-step method how to get a service-based business running quickly.
Yeah, amazing. And Abby is definitely like the queen of that area. And I've seen that checklist. I'm on your email list, Abby. I get all your emails. The checklist is great. So everybody, we will link to that in the show notes. If you didn't catch the URL, we'll make sure that it's there. But thank you, Abby, so much for coming on the show today. What's your Instagram handle, just so that folks can snap a pic while they're listening to this episode and tag me and tag you?
Yeah, it's at The Virtual Savvy.
The Virtual Savvy. Perfect, guys. Well, tag us as you've been listening to this episode. I hope there was a lot of really good takeaways for you to take with you on your journey as you build your business. And thank you so much for tuning in. And thanks for being here, Abby.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by our Rapid List Building Guide. Are you stuck with a teeny tiny email list? Does it feel like the subscribers are barely trickling in? Well, I reached out to 20 of the best online marketing experts out there, people like Jenna Kutcher, Jill Stanton, and Tyler McCall, to ask them what their number one strategy is for building their email list. And the responses I got back were juicy. I compiled all of their revealing answers into the Rapid List Building Guide, which is available for you to download for free. Check out the link in the show notes to get your hands on it.